And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
Welcome to Jalen and Jacoby, in for Jalen Rose, returning 2 straight days. Chinee, Joya, Nenya, Agumake. Close? Close?
Yes!
Close?
You did it! You did it!
God, I'm so proud of myself. That is my greatest accomplishment of 2020 thus far. Easily my greatest accomplishment of 2020 thus far.
You probably wrote it out. Or Kayla, my best friend who also works for ESPN, is probably whispering in your ear right now.
Oh, no. Kayla does not know your middle name. I promise you that. I promise you Kayla does not know your middle name.
Yeah, she's probably like, you can have that.
Yeah, exactly. That is all you.
We're talking about Kayla Elizabeth Johnson.
Oh, I didn't know that. You just made that up.
No, her name is Elizabeth.
I'm never calling her Kayla again. Thank you so much for doing the show 2 days in a row, Chinee.
Wow. I love Victoria Dowling's son, I'll do anything for Victoria Dowling.
Victoria Dowling is my mother, and Chinee is my mother's favorite media personality on the planet. Well, big game in Philadelphia last night between the Sixers and the Clippers, and the drama started before the tip even happened, because during the intros, Joel Embiid was met with some smattering of boos from the Philly crowd. That was likely due to some curious social media posts that he had posted a couple days previously. But then all he had to do was this, a nice little putback and one, and the crowd loves it. He loves it. Watch the smile right here. Everyone's on their feet. What a great moment. So not only are the Sixers inconsistent on the floor, the fans are inconsistent in their support of Joel Embiid. What do you think about that moment early on in the game?
Don't we want just the 76ers to keep that same energy, whether it's good or bad? Maybe that would help them on the road. No, but I'm actually very impressed, because you and I, the media, ESPN, every platform was criticizing the 76ers. And how did they respond against Kawhi Leonard and company? They showed out and they balled out. Now, the 76ers, I've always said they're not like perfectly imperfect, but they're perfectly imperfect. In the sense that we all know what their flaws are, and we've been focusing so much on their flaws. Ben Simmons, I don't know if you saw that video of him like making 8 threes in a row. Simmons, we always talk about him shooting threes or lack thereof. Joel Embiid shooting too much from the perimeter. He should be on the block or in the paint, giving everybody that work. We focus so much on their flaws, but guess what? That game, they finally embraced it. Okay, maybe the floor spacing isn't that good. Maybe we'll have pick and roll scenarios where both of us are pretty much on the block, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. But guess what? Ben Simmons had enough moves to still score, and Joel Embiid was relentless, whether he was posting up or, you know, doing his nice little mid-range turnaround or even spacing the floor in the pick and pop scenario. So this is a version of the 76ers that we love, the perfectly imperfect, meaning they play hard every possession. Now we want them to play hard every game, but I guess we got to take some baby steps for them, right?
Yes. Well, I think there was so much attention on Embiid because of the social media posts, but as you watched the game, it was Josh Richardson hitting threes late, and it was, as you mentioned, Ben Simmons, who not only had about 26 points, but also he guarded Kawhi Leonard on 62 possessions. That's a lot of work on the defensive end for a young player, and he was a really impressive performance from the entire team. What do you think about Richardson and Simmons' contribution?
I think it's really interesting, because if you see Brett Brown, a lot of people have said, like, oh, he may not last that long if he can't manage the personalities on the team. Well, guess what? He's made some changes. Al Horford, a little bit of a lesser role. We know he's a veteran. Mm-hmm. I think they said this was the first time he didn't start or so since
rookie year.
Yeah, since his rookie year, exactly. And then even just figuring out ways to get other production. Furkan Korkmaz, I remember a couple years in the summer league, everyone was hype on him because he can shoot. He's slowly, I know he didn't have a big game, but he's slowly gaining some traction for that team as a stretch shooter since J.J. Redick left, right? Josh Richardson, you needed that in the fourth quarter. You really needed that separation, because I know Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons were doing, they need three. You need, what does Jalen always say? Like, you need three, but four helps you win a championship for sure. I know he has that whole mathematical equation.
I don't listen to Jalen when he talks.
You know what? Forget about him. This is Nay and Jay, not Jay and Jay today.
It's Nay and Jay Day.
But yeah, I was just impressed, because I think these guys, I think they received a lot of criticism, but guess what? They took it to heart. It didn't stop them from playing hard. The fans hold them accountable. The fans need to keep that same energy, I guess, with their love with Joel Embiid. But it's kind of fun, because you can be the villain and the hero. That's the beauty of basketball. You get a new opportunity every day.
They really did look good last night. As you predicted, they always show up in big games on national TV. But if you're Elton Brand, you're thinking, you know what? We're losing Jimmy Butler, but we're bringing back Richardson and we're adding Horford. They should more than make up for it. But thus far this season, it hasn't really been the case. I thought Richardson would be much more of a contributor for them. He's always going to play good defense. But last night just showed you what he could do potentially in a playoff scenario. Now, there was drama before the game, and there was also some drama towards the end of the game. Of course, we're going to show what happened under the basket when Joel Embiid and Marcus Morris, it seemed like no big deal at first. And then, of course, it escalates a little bit more. And Marcus Morris is always going to push. He's always going to push it forward. So he went with the two hands to the chest. What do you think about this little back and forth between these two?
Marcus Morris is first team, senior, is first team all the smoke. We got to draft the squad. First team, all the smoke. Serge Ibaka's probably on that list. You know what I mean? People that are ready to go. I've known the Morris twins, you know, hung out with them occasionally, and they're interesting people, but they're people you don't try. They play hard. They play with a chip on their shoulder. And guess what? They met their match in He met his match in Joel Embiid. But I think this was fine because it was that type of game. People are getting practice for the playoffs. And this was a competition that elevates teams and builds chemistry and can also give you confidence moving forward. The 76ers got that. And then also the Clippers got that once they picked up Marcus Morris Sr. So this is a good look, even though it's like double technical. Like, I was cool with it. I was perfectly fine.
If you also, like, one thing I look at this is a perspective of a fan, because you always can look at a perspective of a player. But if I'm one of those Philly fans and I see the tweets and I see the social media posts, the Instagram posts, you know what I do? I probably boomed during the intros, but then with his play, he wins me over. And then at the end of the game, nothing wins a Philly fan over than mixing it up with the other team. No matter what, we will love you if you mix it up with the other team. It's just kind of the way that it goes. So I really feel like this was just such a rebuilding of the relationship between the Philly faithful and Embiid. And he spoke about all of this after the game. Let's check in with Joel.
They've shown me a lot of love since I've been here. So, you know, we go through up and downs, and, you know, we learn from it, you know. So there's nothing more. We just, you know, playing with each other, just having fun. Like I said, I'm back to being a good sorry for cussing. But, you know, I'm just going to do my thing.
He just looks so happy.
He
didn't talk about that back and forth relationship. Just seemed like the old Joe Embiid, the joyous Joel is back.
Yeah, and that's what he should rely on. I think sometimes when you fall short in the playoffs, you sometimes feel like you have to change who you are. You have to model yourself over, like, guys who just focus and do things. You know, one thing I've realized is that you just have to be authentic to who you are. Play your game. Play your style. Yes, you like to troll people. Don't go overboard with it. Yes, you like to antagonize people on the court. Don't go overboard with it. And I think it was cool because the game was really fun because it was two teams that have dogs. Talking about Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is one of the most durable players. He plays hard on every possession. Joel Embiid, we talk about his defense too, because his blocking ability is ridiculous. Like, he puts his body on the line, and that's why they brought in Al Horford. So these two teams, and on the Clippers side, we're talking about Marcus Morris loving the smoke. I mean, they've got guys, Lou Will, Patrick Beverley. Obviously, Kawhi does it with a straight face. Paul George, first team all defensive, first team all NBA. That's what makes it fun. So, yes, a byproduct of it is maybe a little shoving match. But isn't that the standard NBA fight? Like, oh, get on me, bro.
I mean, that was not going anywhere. It really
wasn't
going anywhere.
As long as nothing connects.
And I would say this is a forgettable loss for the Clippers, but it will be a memorable win for the 76ers, who desperately needed it. Yes, they did get a win against the Bulls, but those are the Bulls. A win like this on national television with what they're going through is going to be very helpful. But that wasn't all the action last night. Great game in the nightcap between the small ball Celtics and the small ball Rockets. 42 points from James Harden. 36 points from Westbrook. These two are clicking. And without Capella, I mean, not just without Capella, but say the last 12 games, Russell Westbrook has been on an absolute tear. If you're not watching these Rockets games, you'll see the James Harden stat line. You think that that's a big deal, but it's really Russell Westbrook who's really found his spot on this roster right before the All-Star break. What do you think about the performance of these two?
I mean, you know, your girl is happy. Sometimes they make me mad. Sometimes they make me scared, especially with the gamble. They made a big bet on the beard and the Brody. A huge bet. And guess what? It's sort of, kind of, paying off. Now, one thing I really like, James Harden, a lot of people, the reason why people are like, oh, I don't want to watch the Rockets, all it is James Harden dribble, 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 step back, dribble, 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 get to the rim and get fouled. Well, guess what? We're also watching James Harden. I know this was a good game for him where he, like, rips off, what, like 19 points or something like that?
19 straight points.
Exactly. I know, like, one thing I love is that he's comfortable falling back, meaning he's letting Russell Westbrook lead as of late. And when you do that, you're becoming a better team. You also get rid of the idea that, hey, maybe we don't have enough. Maybe the strength we have, the firepower is good enough, especially with the nature of this, you know, modern analytics movement and the small ball strategy. So as long as those guys literally ball out, Russell Westbrook and James Harden, and everyone around them sort of plays with that defensive, you know, switching mentality, they can sort of make a little bit of noise. So I've been impressed. I thought other teams would expose them way earlier, but the Celtics sort of have the same mindset with how they're trying to form their team. So if I'm the West, I'm like, ooh, I may not want to play this Rockets team because, hey, they're going to shoot more threes than twos, and that's the direction the NBA is going.
Yes, and I mean, and since they've sort of like traded Capella, you've seen them against the Lakers. You know, I mean, you've seen them against the Celtics. Like, they've showed up. This experiment is paying off thus far. But my question for you is, in a 7-game series, when everything slows down and all those little weaknesses and all those little weaknesses that you have just turn into such big deals, do you think that they have what it takes to win a 7-game series in the playoffs? When it becomes a lot more strategic.
They wouldn't let me land in Bush Intercontinental Airport or Hobby Airport if I said they didn't have a chance. Houston always has a chance, okay? But it might be extremely difficult, especially if you're giving up. I'm talking about, obviously, Anthony Davis, Rudy Gobert, Nikola Jokic. You know, even Zion Williamson, his production in the paint. These guys are going to be forces to be reckoned with, especially in the half court. You still have James Harden, who can get you ISO buckets in the half court. But I do like Russell Westbrook just because he has completely flipped the switch on this team. He plays with a different tempo. And in the playoffs, those can be extra 10 or so possessions that make the difference between winning by two or down by one to up by five. And that's what gets you wins on the road.
All right, Shanae, I know that you are a Houston Rockets fan, but very quickly, I want you to look at this Houston Rockets fan behind head coach Mike D'Antoni, because me and my friends are watching this game asleep or looking at his phone. Asleep or looking at his phone.
I mean, I'm going to go, he's Brian Windhorsting. Like, is that a thing we can do? He's Brian Windhorsting, like, looking down at your phone. That's the only thing that makes sense.
I don't know. I can't tell. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, but it certainly looks like his head jerks up a little bit at the end, like he was falling asleep. Right now, it is time for some very important Houston-related news that matters.
Okay.
So, one thing that is definitely regional, feral hogs. As someone from Texas, you know, in rural Texas has had to deal with feral hogs all the time. But that's usually out in the sticks. Well, guess what? In your very hometown of Houston, Texas, feral hogs are becoming a problem. They're entering the Houston suburbs.
Don't do that.
My question for you, Chinee, if you were in your home and your backyard looked like this, this is what your backyard looked like, what would you do?
Oh my, what are y'all doing? I'm from the burbs. So this is something that could actually happen to me. Hold on, I'm literally calling my mom to see if this was a news story right now. Mom, mommy, I'm live on TV right now and I want to ask you a question, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so did you watch the news this morning and hear anything about feral hogs in hitting the suburbs of Houston, like hogs?
About what?
Pigs, mom, pigs on the loose that can hurt you.
Well, that happened a few months ago. It killed a woman, not in the suburbs, but kind of around, you know, the kind of like, you know how you're traveling in some of those wooded
areas. Mom, so this is real?
Oh, yeah, it killed a woman. Remember when that flood walled that woman and killed her? When did it happen again?
Mom, I just needed to know if this was real or fake news.
No, it's not like in Webster.
Yeah, she's asking her secretary.
It's not happening like in Cyprus, but it's happening around, yeah.
All right, Mom, thank you for this information.
Yeah, but don't make it sound like it's happening like on the streets of Saipan. It killed a woman, this woman.
Oh, my goodness, Mommy. Okay, we just wanted to confirm this.
All right, okay, bye.
Love you.
Thank you, too, though.
Bye. This is crazy.
A news story.
I don't believe it. Like, my whole family's in Houston right now. She's probably screening my call.
If your mom doesn't pick up your phone call, I'll be so happy. Chinee Agumake in for Jalen Rose. Chinee, yesterday I did something that I do every single year.
What'd you do?
I said that the Spurs are not going to make the playoffs. And of course, right after I say that, what do?
They have a great win.
They have a great win. This time it was against the Thunder. Who are they trying to chase down for a playoff spot? And things like that were happening. Okay, I'm going to ask it again.
Okay.
Can they make the playoffs?
They can make the playoffs, but they'd have to start putting in work now. I know a lot of people are sort of on cruise control between now and All-Star. I know some teams might already be done. Some teams have one more game. They need to just stay locked in because the West is wild. There are a lot of teams. I mean, Memphis, we know that they probably like may fall off. They may not, especially with the changes they made at the trade deadline. But still, there are a lot of teams. OKC, they've just beat a team that's already in contention. So the problem is we sort of have overlooked them, and sometimes that's good. And I think it worked to their advantage yesterday because clearly you got to eat some crow. Just at least today.
I do. And always one thing that people always make the mistake of thinking is that the All-Star break is midway through the season. It is not midway through the season.
We are not much
further than midway through the season at the All-Star break. And if the Spurs are going to make a move, just like you said, they're going to have to do it now and not later. Well, Giannis Antetokounmpo had a major change in his life. He welcomed his son Liam into the family. And he had something really interesting to say about how that might change his production. Let's check in with the Greek Freak. He said the following quote, "Look at Fred VanVleet. He started making all those shots when he had his kid. Maybe that happens to me also. Who knows?" Well, I can say this. I became a much worse basketball player when I had three children. But maybe the opposite will happen with Giannis. Do you think that this will be the key to his three?
What are you talking about? I don't know why you're saying you became a worse basketball. You still don't shoot. You don't shoot the ball. You didn't shoot before. You're not shooting after. Aww. Maybe Liam, Charles, right? Giannis, the thing is his game is growing regardless. We all were talking about how at this point he had made more threes than he did all last year, and that was like a couple months ago. So his progression is happening, but the thing is, we're not even recognizing how efficient he has been. Like 30 minutes per game, 30 points per game, leads the team in points, rebounds, assists, you know, second in blocks. He's doing all right.
And he is also doing something that Jalen always appreciates. He doesn't load manage by missing games. He load manages by being up by 15 or 20 in the fourth quarter and then not having to play those last seven or eight minutes, which is something that's been really, really good for Giannis. And I just want to say again, congratulations, Giannis.
Yes.
I will also say this is whenever I have a child, I gain about 10 to 15 pounds. So we'll see if that happens to Giannis
as well.
That
won't happen to him. He's going to be good.
Well, from one parent to another, Dwayne Wade, a much more experienced parent, Giannis Antetokounmpo, went on the Ellen Show and had this to say about his child.
First, Zion, everybody, I don't know if everyone knows, originally named Zion. Zion born as a boy, came home and said, "Hey, so I want to talk to you guys. You know, I think going forward, I'm ready to live my truth. And I want to be referenced as she and her. I would love for you guys to call me Zaya." And so internally, now is our job to, one, go out and get information, to reach out to every relationship that we have. And we're just trying to figure out as much information we can to make sure that we give our child the best opportunity to be, you know, her best self. I looked at it and said, "You are a leader. You are a leader, and this is our opportunity to allow you to be a voice. Right now it's through us because she's 12 years old, but eventually it would be through her."
So, Chinee, he did not have to do this publicly, and to do it in such a big way, I felt, was so brave. What do you think about the bravery it shows for him to not just accept this, but to accept it so publicly?
You know, the NBA is a league full of trends, right? Like, whether it's fashion, moves on the court, the step back. But my favorite trend, probably ever, of the NBA, we've witnessed the last few weeks. It's when these players have retired, I'm talking Kobe and now I'm talking D-Wade, they are showing excellent examples of fatherhood. And it's a beautiful thing. We all know what happened, you know, in the situation with Kobe, but the fact that he supported his daughter similarly and her aspirations, and then now we see D-Wade doing the same in his own way, It's a beautiful thing, and that's why I love our league. And this is the coolest thing that has happened to the sport as of yet. The fatherhood is being out displayed, and it's one of those things that can impact way further than sport. It just impacts life in general, period, and I love it.
Yes, me too. And it also comes to mind that phrase that LeBron has been using lately, more than an athlete, because it does show that while Dwayne Wade changed so much about basketball on the court, he is now changing somewhat of how we handle difficult situations like this in society. Salute to not just Dwayne Wade, but the entire family on revealing this and sharing it with us. You know, Jalen, I understand you. You get pulled in a lot of directions. Your home life, you're on 17 shows for ESPN. You've got the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy. You get pulled in a lot of directions. I've seen it happen to you all the time. Well, Jalen, you should do what I do. Take a second and just chill. Crack open a Mountain Cold Coors Light and just relax. When I choose to turn off, I choose the beer that's made to chill. And that is Coors Light Mountain Cold Refreshment. Made to chill. Here's the thing. Coors Light is brewed in a three-step cold process. It's cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it's made to chill. And the mountains on the side of the cold light can. The Coors Light can are cold activated, so you always know when the beer is chilled and you can chilled. I always like, after a hard day's work, to sit down for a second, turn my phone off, and crack open a cold Coors Light. That's why Coors Light is the one I choose when I need a moment to chill. So when you want to reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Chinee, I didn't think it would happen this fast.
What?
But there's no denying it. The Zion era is upon us in the National Basketball Association. I thought it would take some time for him to get his legs underneath him, for him to get back into shape, for him to get adjust his game to the NBA game. It has not. He has played 9 games. And he is dominant last
night. What have you been watching?
He had his career high, 31 points, 9 rebounds. Look at that.
What have you been watching? Why do you think it would take him a while?
Dunking on people. Because he was big. You know, he has a knee surgery. I just thought that it would be minutes restriction. I didn't think he would be putting up numbers like this and catching lobs like that. What do you make of Zion last night and so far?
David Jacoby, did you watch the preseason?
Yeah, and they got hurt. I did watch the preseason.
You watched the preseason where he shot 70% from the field, the highest field goal percentage and most points per game as a rookie ever. Mm-hmm. Did you watch Duke last year?
Yeah, and I saw him get hurt at Duke last year too. And he got hurt in the summer league and he got hurt in high school. So I was concerned about him. But from what I've seen so far, he has been really impressive, and especially when he's around the basket. He's just unstoppable around the basket.
I think when he's on the court, he is a transcendent talent. Now, he's not ready-made like LeBron James or, his game will take some time for him to figure out, but there's some things that don't take time. You can't teach height. You can't teach athleticism and just natural ability, God's gifts. And if you think about what Zion did, everyone's like, oh, career high. This the way he plays is so efficient.
Yes.
A coach's dream is having a player on your team that you don't need to run plays for that can still dominate. That is Zion. And things were so easy, very similar to Anthony Davis, but minus 5-6 inches. He'll walk you up and then turn around, spin back door. You can't guard that. I love him in transition, whether he's pushing the rock or he's receiving the rock in transition. He runs the floor really well. In the half court, he can post up, and guess what? He'll hit you with that mean little jab step and attack.
I love
and
the then jab step. You'll see it right here is the first
there
play.
It is. No one can stop that. You bite on it, you're gone. He's gone, and he can finish through contact. This is what Zion already has. If you look at his shot chart yesterday, his shot chart was crazy. The restricted area, it was XXX, all these X's in there, and then 1-3.
It seems he shot a lot more jumpers last year at Duke, and I think that that's one thing that's really helping him, especially this early in his career, build his confidence and build his efficiency. And another thing about him, and it wasn't necessarily so prominent last night, but I've been watching a lot of Zion's game, his second jump If he misses that first shot, he bounces right back up like
springy.
A pogo stick. He can jump twice in a row, even on defense. Like, it's just amazing at his size how quickly he can just bounce twice in a row off the floor.
And not only that, he just has, like, some players just have a knack for where the ball is. Offensive rebounding, this is why I say you don't need to run plays for him, because he'll just literally run wild. Offensive rebounding, he knows where the shot's going to go. And you mentioned about Duke. Like, he was shooting a lot of jumpers there. Why? Because he sort of heard the noise, like, oh, all you do is dunk. We asked him as a network, like, oh, he's like, I'm more than just a dunker. So he was trying to prove that in college so that he got the best position ever. And we all, I mean, it was already going to happen. He was going to go number one. But now he can just play his game. And that's really fun. And it's really exciting. And I wish we had that earlier. But you know what they say? Better late than never.
He's a little too quick for like a true center or a big, and he's a little too strong for like a today's four. Do you think opposing teams are going to start sort of like doubling up on him and loading up in the middle to try to limit him around the basket?
Look, they're going to already start doing that, and they have done that. They even did it in preseason, but the thing is his skill set is extremely underrated. So he can catch the ball on the perimeter. You may not be guarding him, but he'll hit you with a nice between the legs, behind the back. He can, you know, tuck the ball in and push through two defenders and get to the paint. And then he's really quick getting to that left hand, and he can finish with the right. He can dunk it. He can dunk it with the left. He can dunk it with the right. He can, you know, dunk off a two, off a one. And that's the thing. He's just starting to manage his load. But if you watch the way he played yesterday in his career high 31, he knows what he's doing. It's like things aren't coming hard. He's not having to, like, fight for it like Blake Griffin did out of the league. You remember that? Or even, like, Derrick Rose, like, had to fight aggressive and, like, that Russell Westbrook type of, like, energy. He's starting to realize, you know what? I can do this with finesse. I can do this with less work. And I think that's why that break starting the season really helped him, because maybe he'll shift his gear so that he will have that longevity that you want, Jacoby.
He doesn't just catch lobs. He threw a lob last night. He had five assists, and they don't run the offense through him. They don't run a lot of plays for him the way that you mentioned. But last year at Duke, they did, and he really showed his passing ability, which is, I think, something that will also sort of unlock as NBA teams see more of him and kind of throw more bodies at him around the basket. You'll see those assist numbers go up. And he's putting up these numbers without playing that many minutes either. Like, it's just been so impressive. And here's one thing that our producer brought up. How do we get him involved in All-Star Weekend? Like,
he doesn't deserve
to be an All-Star, but like, he's not gonna be in the dunk contest. Like, how do we get him involved? Skills comp? Like, what are we doing?
Look, someone said that they should have a all rookie slam dunk contest, because right now the rookies can really show out like that. But I don't know, maybe you pay him an absorbent amount of money, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, Rising Stars would be the right place, but I don't think he, you know, after nine games, I'm not really sure if that's the right place for him to be on it.
But I know.
We gotta get him involved. We gotta get him involved. So I have some good news and some bad news for the New York Knicks.
There
is some good news. The good news, surprisingly, is Forbes has listed them as the highest valued team in the National Basketball Association, $4.6 billion, above even the Lakers, who have LeBron James and the best record in the West and their own television network.
This is historic
even
for New York.
Even above the Lakers. But there's also some bad news as well.
What is it?
Steve Stout was here at the Seaport yesterday. He's recently been brought on as sort of like a branding person, a marketing person with the New York Knicks. And, well, he had some things to say about the coaching staff and personnel. And then the Knicks had to release a statement in which Steve was involved in, kind of backing off all those statements, saying he is here for branding and marketing. What do you think about all of this drama around the Knicks and the rebuild and the rebrand and Steve Stout's comments?
You know what? Like, I usually have words for these type of things, but I'm really short of words because the Knicks keep doing Knick things. Now, I get trying to push the Knicks brand, but you can't push a brand until you have something to believe in. And I think, you know, we're all saying the young talent and all that stuff. Like, those are things that are like positives. I don't know if you can, one person can solve the PR crisis. Like, or, you know what I mean? Like, that would take, honestly, basketball is your best bet. Let the play on the court speak for itself, and then you can have a platform to speak. But I was just, like, watching this whole thing. And then Woj, you see
Woj. Woj got a little spicy on Twitter. Woj got a little spicy on Twitter. I was reading, I was like, is this real Woj? Is this fake Woj? I love Woj so much.
Okay,
the underrated sense of humor. Underrated sense of humor, Adrian Wojnarowski. And look, there's another angle to this, which, you know, one of my friends pointed out to me is Steve Stout has a sort of a marketing agency, and he was also hired to rebrand the Nets. Do you remember like the Kuja uniforms and the Bed-Stuy yes. uniforms and the court read? Like that was all Steve Stout's agency.
By the way, and that's fire.
It is. It
that
is.
Was
he did a really good job. But it's also so very New York Knicks to be like, hey, let's get the guy that did the Nets and we'll just hire him and it'll work out perfectly. And there's another interesting story coming out of the New York Knicks is remember when they hired Leon Rose and another name was sort of attached to that. And that was William Wesley, famously known as Worldwide Wes. Little known fact, nicknamed by Jalen Rose, normally our co-host.
Really?
And facts. And the latest is that Worldwide West will have no formal title with the Knicks moving forward. That's a report from The Athletic, but it's interesting to think, like, has Worldwide West ever have a formal title ever? Like, it's like his title is being Worldwide West. So I don't know what that means, but it's just another way of the Knicks and Knicks PR having to come out and sort of walk something back that's gotten out to the press.
Again, like, I don't even know what to say. At this point, you need to make your power. What do they say? Real G's move in silence like lasagna.
Yes.
The Knicks need to move in silence and let their game speak for themselves. And we talked about, you know, before, you know, rebranding of the Nets. Well, what helped the Nets? They had this nice little Brooklyn culture. They have a new practice facility. I actually went and met the team. Was it last year? And like, they had a nice group of guys that just believed. And then it was translating to their play and it was translating to their fans. And then it translated to their brand. That is the sequence of events you want to be successful. Not the other way around. Let's put the brand out there. Say these things that can't be backed up by play just yet.
It's a really good point, Janae. Really good point, Janae. Well, one good thing about the Knicks is they always give us something to talk about, don't they? It is now time for a shocking soft move or boss move. Some tattoos end up being regrettable. And I fear that Chris Brown just got one of those tattoos. We don't know exactly when he got it, but it surfaced recently. A tattoo on his face of, wait for it, a Jordan 3 sneaker. Take a look at this tattoo. Chinne Agumake getting a sneaker tattooed on your face. Soft move or boss move.
13-year-old me would say I could take no Chris Brown slander. Okay? That was my guy. Life happens. This might be a soft move.
This is a soft move. And I can think of a lot of reasons to slander Chris Brown. But this particular one, I think, is I think he's going to regret this over time. Let's just say that. I think over time, he might regret this. Also, Jordan 3, it's like not even the best Jordans. You know what I mean? Like,
if it was an Adidas Jordans, shoe, I'd be like, yeah, best. That makes sense.
Yeah, there
cute.
We go. Ride for your squad. That's why I love you, Janae. Always riding for your squad. Janae Agumake in for Jalen Rose. Janae, you have all the power in this segment. You can decide what you want to discuss. It is time for Keep It Moving.
Keep it moving, you know where, keep it moving.
If you want to discuss the topic, say hit the brakes. If not, we'll just keep it moving. Are you ready, Chinee?
Let's do it.
We have an undefeated team in college basketball that no one is talking about. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
I mean, there's a reason why no one's talking about them, so we keep it moving.
Okay, that's one way to do it.
Moving, we keep it moving.
Was that shady?
Yes, very much so. We have an update on the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show Champion. Keep it moving or hit the brakes?
Hit the brakes. I'm intrigued.
This poodle, Siba, won the best in show at the Westminster Kennel Club. And we learned that Siba ate an entire chicken sandwich from McDonald's before the show. Feeding a dog a McDonald's chicken sandwich. Your thoughts?
I think that's a win. If that's what provides the performance necessary to be successful... Mm-hmm. I will tell you this. There are people that ate McDonald's and still eat McDonald's before they play in the professional ranks today. Today. So
who's that?
Why not?
Who's that?
You know, why,
I want a name.
So this was, I do a podcast, Certified Buckets, with Nick Young and Gilbert Arenas. And I think Nick Young was, like, his OGs were Gilbert Arenas and Caron Butler. And this was the one story about Caron Butler, how he used to make Nick get him McDonald's and McDonald's straws.
Those are straws, yeah.
Exactly, because he was one of those OGs that would chew on straws too during the game. So,
the Red Sox have a new manager. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Keep it moving.
We'll keep it moving.
We keep it moving.
It's an interim manager.
We keep it moving.
We have video of one of the NBA's leading flopportunists. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Ooh, let's hit the brakes.
Marcus Smart will never let a good flopportunity pass without making the most of it. So let's watch him last night versus the Houston Rockets. There he is, Marcus Smart.
Okay.
And keep an eye on that. Always, just always. See, James Harden, that's an assault from James Harden. He should be arrested. I feel like James Harden needs to be suspended indefinitely and arrested for this violation and clear assault on Marcus Smart.
Whoa. Leave my mans alone.
Okay.
Leave my mans alone. That's hilarious.
I love it.
I think we need to make a squad of first team off opportunists too. Kyle Lowry might be on there. But it works.
Kyle Lowry falls down more than any basketball player I've ever seen.
But he also
in the
does
National
get a
Basketball
lot. He does draw a lot of charges though.
He does. It seems like every time he goes to the basket, he falls down. Moving on, Zach LaVine is making a case for why he was snubbed in the All-Star game. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
I want to hear this, Zach LaVine. I love the shade. I love the smoke.
It was a loss against the Wizards, but he had 41 points. Now, Jalen always says if you're going to put him in the All-Star game, you have to take someone out. And I'm looking at a couple players named Bam Adebayo and Domantas Sabonis and asking if you should replace them with Zach LaVine in the East All-Star spot.
I'm going to throw this at you. Who do you think, what would you do?
I'll take Sabonis out and put Zach LaVine in. He's just doing too much for his team.
I concur. I concur just because it's in Chicago. We need somebody to hold it down. Like, that's the type
you
of policy
someone in
the
home team
do.
Uniform that is hosting the
and
All-Star
Bam,
game.
I like what Bam has done this year. So sorry, Domantas.
Moving on. Giannis Antetokounmpo said that he is turning down money. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Keep it moving because we all know he's going to get that paycheck.
Keep it moving. Keep it moving.
We have a fourth generation performing in a professional sport. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson's daughter Simone is training for the WWE and she would be the fourth generation of that family to perform with the WWE. How impressive is that?
That is amazing. First of all, can we talk about how great it was to have The Rock introduce the teams at the Super Bowl? Like, that to me, I was watching, I was like, oh my God, can he do this like for every sport? For
He's
every
great
game?
At everything. He's like a good actor. I actually watch Ballers. I love Ballers. He's a great actor. He's good at everything.
His
Dwayne
energy
The Rock Johnson
is authentic.
Is perfect. He's a perfect person.
And we know that it will translate to his daughter, so.
Lonzo Ball has added something to his game. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
I mean, it's sort of like Ben Simmons shooting. We care about what Lonzo Ball does with his game, so let's hit the brakes.
Well, this time his game is more of his hair game. He's got some little Brady twists going on up top. What do you think about this new look, Lonzo?
Hey, look, I know this might be, this is cultural. I know this is not the segment, but this is cultural. If you're a hooper, you are allowed to go straight hooper and put in some cornrows, some braids, some twists. Cultural. I like it.
We have some pretty important news in the National Football League. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
You know, I'm starting to fall in love with football a little bit, so let's hit the brakes.
I've been in love with football my whole life, and this one is not exactly shocking, but it is important. They have reinstated Myles Garrett from his indefinite suspension after that ugly incident against the Pittsburgh Steelers. What do you think about this news and what it means for Miles?
Well, one of the biggest things that sports can do is rehabilitate. So a lot of people make mistakes, and I think it's only fair for him to be reinstated because I am sure with all the eyes of the world on that play and that game and that sequence and how much we talked about it, he's learned his lesson.
Chinee Igwumike in for Jalen Rose. I'm so glad you're here today because we have a special Valentine's Day edition of Soft Move or Boss Move. Many couples have a Valentine's Day tradition of taking their date to Waffle House to celebrate the great holiday. Waffle House on Valentine's Day, soft move or boss move?
Boss move. I feel like this is one of those, I'm going to take you back to the place we first met. Mm-hmm. And that typically is a Waffle House. And this new generation, mine, is probably going to be like a Chipotle or something like that. So I think this is a boss move. It's funny. I don't know if I'm just built different, but like when a guy says, oh, I want to take you to this place with the sunset, I'm like, oh, you're doing too much. Like, why don't we do a little less? And to me, it's those less that end up meaning more because you focus on the right stuff, not like the menu or the setting. You focus on each other.
Exactly. One of the most memorable Valentine's Day dates I've ever taken my wife on was to a White Castle in Brooklyn. They had table service. They had red tablecloths. It was wonderful. Shout out to that White Castle in Brooklyn. Moving on, Chennai, one of the Harlem Globetrotters, Max, goes by the name of Hops. He released this video online yesterday that will absolutely blow your mind. I can't wait to watch you see this. Look at that. Blind behind the head. This man is only about 5'10", too. Chennai, what do you think of this dunk?
That's crazy. I saw that yesterday. I was like, my brain didn't even think this would be something that's even possible. I love it.
Yes.
I love the creativity.
Bravo. I love it too. I do not think it was his first take, but I have a very quick announcement. On Monday, noon at Madison Square Garden, Jalen Rose will be coaching the Washington Generals, and I will be suiting up for the Washington Generals, and we're going to get this win for the first time in 16,000 games. We're going to get this win for the Generals.
News.
I cannot wait. So if you are in the New York area, make sure you come to Madison Square Garden and check this out.
You better shoot the ball.
I'm going to shoot the ball because there's no pressure. If I miss, I'm
a
general.
They can probably, you know what I mean? They can probably do the same thing. You miss, they can just grab it, throw it behind the head.
I do not think I'm going to do that. That's not for me. Well, Luka Doncic has been out for a while with an ankle injury, but he's ready to return tonight against the Kings. Do you think he'll pick up where he left off?
I mean, that's the type of season that Luka Doncic is having. He's just been taking over the league. He's been on a tear. And I know this was a tough recalibration point for them with a couple of injuries and new acquisition. Mm-hmm. But the one thing is, Luka's talent is undeniable. We're so used to this phrase, sophomore slump, that we're like, whoa, how is he able to do this? But he has, and he continually will do. I think the Mavericks are top two in offensive efficiency. This is largely at the hands and shoulders of Luka Doncic. I expect nothing less than greatness.
Absolutely. And to start the season, it took Kristaps Porzingis a little bit of time to sort of find himself and to get back into the flow of things and find his offense. And I actually think that Luka being out has helped him. He had a couple 30-point games, and I feel like Kristaps Porzingis has got his feet underneath him now. Yes. He's established himself. And I think when they have Luka and KP firing at their best is when this Mavs team is really going to take off. And I'm not going to say it's going to be this year. I'm not going to say it's going to be next year, but I think that this Mavericks nucleus will win an NBA championship. And I think that there's so many dynamic duos in the league, but there are only a couple dynamic duos that are on the rise. I'm looking at Memphis and I'm looking at Dallas.
And I'm looking at a dynamic duo between you and I on the rise.
Yes, exactly.
Nay and Jay.
Yes, Nay and Jay. It's a Kristaps and Luka, Nay and Jay.
I'd prefer to be LeBron Jared. And AD or Kawhi and Paul George.
No,
but it's
that's still the
we'll
past.
We'll take those
that's
in the future. It's the
that's
future.
Of the past. We are the duo of the future. And I think in the past, you did something recently that we need to celebrate. And you took a trip to visit schools in Nigeria. So tell us a little bit about what you saw while you were out there and what the experience was like.
My mom, she went to Queens College in Lagos, Nigeria. So I was able to give back to the young girls there in an all-girls school. 4,000 girls. So it was a fun trip. Love you for showing this.
We always say we give the people what they want. So we're not just going to give you the television show audio. We always give you podcast exclusive. Too Hot for TV. Chennai, thank you so much for coming back to the show. We were just discussing off wax your travel schedule here. So you went Nigeria to Los Angeles for 36 hours and then to New York, car to Bristol, to Hartford, to Chicago?
Yes. I'm struggling right now. I'm really making the work hard on the producers because I'm struggling.
What are we doing in Chicago? What are your Chicago responsibilities?
It's big lit in Chicago. Shout out to all the J&Jers that are going to be out there because I will be one of the analysts of the celebrity game, which should be really fun.
Oh, that's right.
I'm doing stuff with Adidas. We have a huge program that's going to be so great, spearheaded by, a lot of great minds at Adidas, where we get Dame Lillard, James Harden, I believe, so many other, of our top athletes coming to inspire the kids. So I'm going to be working with them. I also work with AT&T, so I'll be talking and interviewing celebrities before the All-Star game. So it'll be a very busy, and I'm also doing an episode of Certified Buckets with Nick Young. We all know him, the Laker legend, and also Sharonis J. Jackson from Insecure. So I'm booked and busy. I hope I'll see you there. I can get you as a plus one, my dog, into all the Adidas stuff if you'll support.
I will not be in Chicago. I heard it's minus 20 degrees and there's a blizzard coming there. So I will not be joining all of my colleagues in Chicago. And also,
no.
I love the Certified Buckets and the work that you do there. But we're calling Nick Young a Laker legend?
In the streets.
Drew League legend. Drew League legend.
Look, in these streets of L.A. that I've come to know, and you know yes. Nick Young gets a lot of love
yes,
in these streets.
Yes, he does. He deserves all that love.
But, it's a street legend.
Nick Young is a Laker street legend. That is a fact. I can only imagine what the conversations are like off wax, because the conversations
there's so many things that have to get cut. I'll just give you one word of a story I've heard that involves him and Gilbert Arenas. Trench coat.
We've got Valentine's Day coming up.
Speaking of trench coats.
Valentine's Day coming up. Number one, is there someone special that's going to be treating you for Valentine's Day?
Yes, maybe.
Okay, good. Good. And I'm not going to put you on the spot. We've had to edit things out of this podcast because we've gotten you in trouble before in the past. So we're going to move on from there. Certified Buckets is not the only podcast we've had Chennai's been involved in where some things needed to be edited out. So I just want to say, what we have is some relationship advice voicemails as we head into Valentine's Day. So let's listen to one of those. And before you push play, please, Reg, if you call 985-80-JALEN, call right now, 985-80-JALEN. Leave us your Valentine's Day and relationship-related voicemails. And we'll put them on the show.
Yo, Jalen and Jacoby. This is Devin from the Bronx. Shout out to you guys. I know this is Woman Crush Wednesday today. Calling in on Tuesday. It's supposed to be Wednesday when you guys listen to this. It's Woman Crush Wednesday, but I got a topic that does involve women, so hopefully you guys put me on. Just got out of a serious relationship. I thought we were a power couple, but, you know, life works in mysterious ways. Some people don't see eye to eye at the end. And I'm getting set up on a blind date sometime tomorrow, and I want to get your opinion, guys, before I go into it. What should I do? What should I expect? What should I say? And you know, what should come out of it. Shout out to you guys. Shout out to the whole crew. Keep getting them checked.
Thank you so much for the call, Devin. Thank you so much for the call. Now, so my biggest piece of advice for someone going on a blind date is you got a pre-screen. You really got a pre-screen. There's no such thing as a blind date in 2020. Everyone got social media. So you'll see this person. You'll know more about them than anybody that's been on the blind date before 2010 would know about them.
So when it comes to blind dates, I'm not that pessimistic, because sometimes I think because we have this pre-screen culture, we tend to weed out a lot of people based on things that don't matter. Granted, I don't take my own advice, so
if you're going on a blind date, you would pre-screen.
Wait, what?
If you were going on a blind date, you would pre-screen. You would find their Instagram. You would look at them. You'd ask a lot of questions. The pre-interview is important. Whoever's setting you up in the blind date, you have to be like, you have to ask them, what makes this person right for me? What about them do you think that they could be a match for me? I think those are important questions.
Yeah, I would say the only way I'd go on a blind date is if it's someone coordinated by someone I trust that understands this is what I really, really, really want. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So, like, I feel like, especially coming out of a long-term power couple type of relationship that didn't work, it's not bad to even just go, just to put yourself out there with no expectations. And worst case, you leave with a friend or someone you don't even have to see ever again.
Exactly. And also, I want to say to Devin, it's just very important that you're open to all experiences. You know what I mean? And that you reserve judgment and say, here I am here. You know what? Let me just hear this person out. Give this person the respect. They're just as nervous as me. They're taking their time out of their day to spend it with me. So I would say that even if you are not visually stimulated immediately or intellectually stimulated immediately, or don't think early on in the day that's going to be work, just let the process play out, because those things can change over time. And if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. You just move on with your life. Thank you so much for the call, Devin.
We've
got another relationship call, as this is the week of Valentine's Day. So let's listen to another one of those.
What up, though? It's Big O from T.O. It's been a minute since I left the voicemail, but I had to come through. Boss move or soft move, organizing your own birthday. So So maybe I'm getting older. I don't like surprises. I want to know exactly what's happening. I'm having a small gathering of my closest friends. We're going for dinner. And then we'll meet up with the rest of them, and we'll have a larger thing and some drinks. I want to know what's happening. Soft move or boss move, organizing your own birthday. That's question number one. And for both of you, you fly to one city. You have one meal in the world for your birthday. I want to know what it is. Keep giving the people what they want.
Definitely a boss move to plan your own birthday. And yeah. This is one thing about birthdays. A lot of people are like, oh, I don't celebrate my birthday. I'm one of those people.
I'm one of those people too.
I've started to realize, like, even if you're not trying to celebrate, it is a milestone. And you can celebrate in a small version as you want. Like, for me, maybe I just want to be home, go to a movie, get a good meal. My thing is popping Martinelli, so I'll go and get a Martinelli for Whole Foods and enjoy that with my meal. You know what I mean? So, like,
popping Martinelli's? So you mean apple juice?
Martinelli's are my drink of choice, honestly. They're my drink of choice.
Are we the sparkling apple juice or the actual apple juice that my kids drink in the
sparkling,
little glass?
Sparkling.
The little glass thing. Oh, okay.
I don't dabble too much in the harder stuff because, you know, I'm just that type of person. And I'm an athlete and try to do my best. But, yeah, birthdays to me, you should always celebrate, even if it's a small mental thing. And then if you want to plan your own birthday, that's cool, too. Don't let people shame you because you like to celebrate life.
I love it.
Wait, the second part of it though. Where would you want to go? Where's the place you'd want to go, Jacoby?
One city and one meal. That one got me thinking. Okay, because I'm going to focus on the meal part because I feel like the meal would be secondary if I just want to go to any old city. You know what I mean? But one foreign place I've been. Where I was blown away by the particular dish of that country and or city, paella in Spain.
Ooh.
I've had paella out here, you know what I mean? And it just hits so different out there. With I was in Barcelona and just like the way the rice was done and all the different seafoods. And I just remember just sitting there in an outside cafe, watching the people of Barcelona walk by, having this big old pot of paella, saying to myself, this might be the best meal I've ever had.
I like that. You know, I've never been to Thailand, and I love Thai food. So for the sights and the sounds and the real version of the food, I always order on Uber Eats 24/7. Maybe that's it for me. Plus a boo on Valentine's Day. Let's go.
Hey, what's your go-to Thai food order?
Yellow chicken curry pad. I think it's pad see ew. It's either pad see ew or pad see mao.
Pad see ew.
And then some fried rice. I have a question. Why didn't I get a take or an email, a swipe right from our 25K business decision from yesterday?
Jeffy G? Well, I looked up Jeffy G again, and he doesn't fit all the requirements. Let's just say that.
Look at that. Pre-screening for the win.
Exactly. What would be your city and meal?
I already told you, David Jacoby.
What?
Thailand and Thai food.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got caught up in it. I got caught up in it.
You're not paying attention to me.
I went to Thailand on my honeymoon. It was like a nice 10-day trip. Thai food out there, so delicious.
Ooh.
Get a little sick of it, though, after 30 meals in a row. You're like, I just want a burger. But I will say this is don't sleep on the Thai massages. We got a massage every day. They kind of give you a massage and they stretch you. That's the kind of Thai style.
Okay.
It's really nice. And telling you, it's like $7, or it was, this is a while ago, it's like $7 for an hour massage.
Oh.
So if you've got, $20, you get like a full hour massage, tip included. It is so nice.
Women Crush Wednesday, and I'm a woman on your program.
Yes.
What advice would you give to women in advance of Valentine's Day?
Well, there's two different things. You know what Valentine's Day really is? What it really is?
What?
It's a great, great night for singles. That's what it's low key. It is low key the best night for singles. Because you know what? If you're in a couple, you're just doing the same thing everybody else doing. You're going to dinner.
True.
You might get a little card. You might get a little something. But if you're single and you go to the bar and you see that group of ladies, and you know what? It's just like they're excited to be there, but just more open to opportunities that might arise than they are on other nights of the year.
Welcoming love.
What my take for Valentine's Day is really, it's a great night for singles. So if you are single, don't be sad. Go out there and find yourself somebody because it is going to happen. for you on that night. It's a Friday this year, too? And it's a Friday?
Hey, it's and it's NBA All-Star Weekend.
Oh,
boys.
No. Oh,
hey,
no.
Hey, I need you to come. Help me. I'm scared for myself.
No, thank you. I will not be there. One thing I've learned over my years and years at this company is if I don't have an actual job or responsibility, so you listed all those responsibilities you have, all those reasons that you have to be there. I'm not flying to cities just to go to parties. You know what I mean? I need a job.
That's not my type either. I'm not the type.
I need a
job.
You're
right. It is a job.
Yeah. I don't have a job. I don't have any duties. We're not doing any Jalen and Jacoby stuff there. ESPN didn't ask me to do anything else there, so I will be missing.
I don't know why I'm trying to play myself like I go out like that. I was here at 2 a.m. at ESPN.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Well, Chinee, it's been so much fun having you on for the last couple days. I want to thank all of our callers for calling in. Don't forget to call 985-80 Jalen. Leave us voicemails. Jalen Rose will return tomorrow. Look forward to that. Hit it, Reg.